You did one, two. Hello, hello. Good. Good morning, congregation. Welcome to worship on this Sunday in Lent. It's good to be gathered as God's people here in this place of worship. Just a couple of announcements just to help people know what's kind of going on or coming up in the next little while. First off, tonight we're having a potluck after the PM service this evening. It's as most of you noticed, because you're here on time, the time change weekend, and so we will be having also a potluck as it's March break, so we're having a potluck after the PM service with our prayer service. Our prayer service will be studying the book of Acts, and they devoted themselves to prayer and to the breaking of bread, and so it's fitting that we do that also this evening as we have our prayer service. As well, there is a mystery dinner. There was a teaser kind of put in the bulletin there regarding the mystery dinner that's going to be coming up. It's on Friday, March the 31st. So mark that date in your calendars. Friday, March the 31st at 6:30. There'll be a mystery dinner here hosted by council. And so more details won't be actually coming, but there'll be a full meal, and it'll be here, and it's a mystery. And one last thing, and that is that after the morning service, just here back in the sanctuary, after you grab your coffee, there'll be a short care team meeting. So if you're on the care team, we'll be meeting here for just a few moments after the AM service. Congregation, those are the announcements that I have at this time, and so I'm going to invite you to stand for our call to worship. We're going to sing that song for Lent that we've been singing, Turn Your Eyes. Let's stand as we sing. These words in opening and greeting. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power and rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young.
May the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit be and abide with us all. And all God's people say, Amen. Congregation, let's remain standing as we sing our opening hymn of praise, the new 100th, O Shout for Joy, by the Gettys. Congregation, as we gather for worship today in this season of Lent, we remember our Savior's suffering. I invite you to look either to the bulletin or to the screen for the words of our prayer of confession. I invite you to pray together with me, saying, Most holy and merciful Father, we confess to you and to one another that we have sinned against you by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not fully loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not always had in us the mind of Christ. You alone know how often we have grieved you by wasting your gifts, by wandering from your ways, by forgetting your love. Forgive us, we pray you, most merciful Father, and free us from our sin. Renew in us the grace and strength of your Holy Spirit for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Amen. Congregation, having come before God and confessed that we need a Savior, that we are only forgiven through Jesus Christ, hear these words which Paul first wrote to the church in Ephesus and also to us from Ephesians chapter 2. As for you, he writes, you were dead in your transgressions and sin in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us, Paul writes, lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, by nature, we were deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, has made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Jesus Christ, in order that in the coming age he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed to us in the kindness of Jesus Christ. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. What a wonderful truth that Paul reminds us of. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Congregation, let's remain seated as we sing of that reality, singing Christ the life of all the living, the first stanza of that hymn. Jesus. And so knowing that our sins are forgiven in Christ, how then are we invited to live? Well, there's a commitment to holy living that's responsive, congregation. So I'll read the one part. I would invite you to respond together with how we are invited to live. Congregation, since we have been saved by grace, how shall we live in obedience to him who has saved us? And how will it be clear that the Lord has first place in your life? And how will it be clear that you love others as yourselves? Our parents, hold the family in high esteem. We will not abuse, hate, or injure our friends or neighbors by word, gesture, or deed. We will live sexually holy and disciplined lives. We will not steal. We will not lie. We will not grasp for what we do not have, nor reject others for having it. Will you commit yourselves to this obedience? Indeed, congregation, the Ten Commandments summarized for us loving God and loving our neighbors. At this time, I'm going to invite the young ones forward, the children forward, and actually Julia Van Dendy is going to lead our children's message this morning, so I'm going to invite Julia for it. So boys and girls, you come on up to the front at this time.
Good morning, boys and girls. Thank you for sitting so nicely. I have a picture. I'm going to cover up the one on the other page with a sticky note. Okay, stay sitting down. Thank you, honey. You stay sitting there. Okay. Do you guys know what this picture is? What's that a picture of? Can you guys see?
No.
What do you think it is? What do you see on there, on that page? A sheep? You see sheep?
Yeah.
And who's the person with the sheep? Hendrick? Well, yeah, that one. Yeah, you're right. That is Moses in this picture. But it's a shepherd, right? It's a shepherd. Okay. Maybe some of you know a shepherd in our church congregation. Do you know who has sheep in our congregation? Do you know Noah and Jeremy and Caleb and Zachary, their dad and mom? They have sheep too, right? They take care of sheep. So how does a shepherd care for the sheep? Hendrick? Okay, takes care of the sheep to make sure they're well. Okay, make sure that they're healthy, they're well. How do you make sure they're well? What do they need? They need to eat. They need to eat. They need to have food. They have to have green pastures or food. They also have to, what do we have to do too? We also need to have food and water, right? And rest. Okay, let's be really still. Let's stay right where we're sitting, okay? And we're going to stay right there. So the shepherd loves and cares for his sheep and makes sure they're fed. He leads and guides them. And do you think the sheep know their shepherd? Do you think the sheep know their shepherd? Yeah, they do. They know the shepherd. They even know his or her voice. And the Lord, or the shepherd, lovingly cares for the sheep. Did you know that the Bible tells us in several different places, but I'm thinking Psalm 23, I'm thinking John 10, where I think the pastor's preaching from today. The Lord says, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He is our good shepherd. So, guys, look at me real quick. We're almost done. He is our good shepherd. He provides for us. He guards us. He's present with us. He fills us. He lovingly cares for us and tends us. He protects us from evil, and there's no fear in him. Jesus finds the lost and binds up the broken by his redemptive work on the cross. That is our amazing shepherd. In his arms, there's comfort and safety. Our good shepherd even laid down his life to save us. He is our good shepherd. Okay. All right, you sit. Jesus, our good shepherd, is one with the Father, and the sheep know his voice. So we, who is our good shepherd, boys and girls? Okay, Marita? God. Jesus, God is our good shepherd, and we are his sheep, and we know his voice. We follow him, right? Okay. And what are some ways that we can know our good shepherd? This is the last question. What are some ways we can know? Just some of the ways we can know our good shepherd. Michaela? To know Jesus. How can we know Jesus? Yeah. How can we know Jesus? We can read the Bible together as our family. We can pray. We can listen to our parents and our Sunday school teachers and teachers, right? And we can learn. We spend time with him, and we learn. We learn to follow his voice, just like the sheep learn to follow the shepherd's voice. All right, let's end in prayer. Okay. All right, fold your hands. 1, 2, 3. Dear Lord, we come before you this morning, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our good shepherd. We love you, Lord. Help us to follow you and to put our trust in you. Help us to love others and to share with them the exciting and amazing news of you, our good shepherd. Please be with us today. Bless our time in Sunday school with our teacher and our other students. Please be with those who also have Sunday school after church, Lord, and may you bless our time in church as we worship together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you may go to Sunday school.
Congregation, as the children head off to Sunday school, we have opportunity to go to God in our congregational prayer. In our congregational prayer this morning, I'll be praying through some of the different parts of the Lord's Prayer as we join together. Let me lead us in prayer together. Lord God, you are our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Lord, we draw near to you with all holy reverence and confidence, coming, Lord, as children to a Father ready and willing and able to help us as we pray together and for others. Enable all of us, Lord, also in our worship today and in our prayers and by what we say and do to glorify you, Lord, as we live and work in the creation that displays your power and mercy. Be pleased to point all things to you. Lord, we pray this morning that your kingdom come. Lord, we pray that Satan's kingdom may be destroyed and that the kingdom of your grace may be advanced. And Lord, that we ourselves and that others may be brought into your kingdom and kept in it, and that kingdom of glory may come soon. Lord, we pray that your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that you, Lord, by your grace, would make us able and willing to know, obey, and even submit, Lord, to your will in all things. Lord, as the angels do in heaven. Lord, we look forward this week to the good and wonderful things that we can celebrate, especially, Lord, for students as they're looking forward to March break and some time off of school. Lord, we pray that this too will be a week that brings glory to you. Father in heaven, we ask that you give us this day our daily bread. We pray that of your good gifts we may receive a portion fitting to what we need for daily life and enjoy your blessing with them. Lord, we ask that you also heal those who need your hand of mercy upon them. Lord, we know that you are the great physician. Be with those in our congregation who struggle. Lord, those who have ongoing conditions, Lord, for whom they face challenges and more doctor's appointments and testing and figuring things out. Lord, may they feel your comfort. Lord, will you be with those who walk beside people who suffer from Alzheimer's or dementia, and who watch, Lord, their loved ones in some ways fade away before their eyes. Give them your grace. Be also, Lord, we pray, with those who are celebrating this week, be that birthdays or anniversaries. Watch over them. Will you be with those and our loved ones nearby and far away, and also give them daily what they, Lord, stand in need of. We ask, Lord, that you forgive us our debts as we also, Lord, forgive our debtors. We pray that you, Lord, for Christ's sake, would freely pardon our sins. And we are encouraged to ask this because by your grace, Lord, we are also then encouraged to seek to forgive others, those who have caused offense against us, and seek to reconcile with them. Help us, Lord, to do this. For, Lord, you have forgiven us so much, and you ask us in turn to forgive others. We pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you will not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, we pray that you would keep us from being tempted into sin. And, Lord, even when we do succumb and when temptation proves too strong for us, that you would support us and deliver us. Lord, we pray that you help us also to use the supports around us, even, Lord, also our church family, when we are stumbling. Lord, we pray these things, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Lord, we take our encouragement in prayer from you, and Lord, we look forward to spending more time this evening also, Lord, as a congregation in prayer together. Lord, in our prayers, may we praise you, ascribing power and glory to your most holy name. And Lord, may we also testify
of our desire to bring all our needs before you, our joys and our sorrows. And Lord, we know that you hear us. We pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Congregation, as we prepare to open God's word in just a moment, we're going to sing as our opening prayer for illumination, Gift of Finest Wheat. We're going to sing verses 1, 4, and 5. Congregation, I would invite you, if you're able, to stand as we sing this song, which serves as our prayer of illumination before opening God's word this morning. Congregation, at this time I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles and to turn with me there to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, and we're looking at John chapter 10, page 1040 is what we're reading this morning. Now, congregation, as you might recall, Lent is the time of year when we look ahead to Christ's death on the cross for our sins. This year we've been focusing, if you're visiting with us today, on the Gospel of John and the picture we get of Jesus in that Gospel. Last time we saw from John chapter 2 that Jesus was a miracle worker. He turned the water into wine. And I noticed as I was unlocking the back doors this morning that someone is maybe hoping that same thing is going to happen again today, because there are some jars outside just the door there. I don't know if they're full or not, but maybe someone is hoping that that will happen again. But last time we noted that Jesus did many miraculous things, including that wedding at Cana where he changed water into wine. But sometimes we noted at the end of the service, the end of the sermon last time, that Jesus didn't perform miracles, including going undeservingly and willingly to the cross for us. And so this morning we're looking at John chapter 10, and we get a familiar picture, probably one of the best known images. And Julie and the children's message already talked about what we're studying from John chapter 10, the picture of who Jesus is there as a shepherd. So we're going to read the first 18 verses there of chapter 10. Hear then, brothers and sisters, the very word of God. This is Jesus speaking. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, congregation, some of you may know, and I think there's a few students here who go to the Christian high school in Chatham, and sad to remind you on March break about school, but you don't have to go this coming week. But one of the teachers there at the Christian High School, the art teacher in particular, is a good friend of mine. And the art teacher, go figure, loves art. And while I've been to the Louvre and went to see the Sistine Chapel and have seen some amazing art, art is not so much really my passion, but for her it is. Maybe for some of you, art is also something you appreciate and enjoy. And if you are an art lover, maybe you've noticed something about medieval artists. There was a funny habit that many medieval painters practiced for quite a number of years in Europe. Many of these artists would often paint biblical scenes. But when they did, they often had a really kind of odd twist to it. Because if they were painting a biblical scene, be that the scene in the manger, Jesus blessing the children, whatever biblical scene they would paint, they would often make one switch. Does anybody know what they would often do, those medieval painters? They would paint Mary and Joseph, the wise men, not in the clothes of first century Palestine, but in the clothes of what people were wearing at that time and in that stage. I don't know about you, but mixing up the old and the new, changing what was then and there and bringing it into contemporary culture kind of can seem a little bit weird. It's like if you're in class and your teacher gets you to build a model of a log cabin from pioneer times, and then you include an Egg McMuffin in the kitchen. It just doesn't fit. If you painted Mary and Joseph for that art teacher, Mrs. Benalik, at the Christian high school, and she was asking you to paint the manger scene, and you had Mary in a Ralph Lauren dress or blouse, Joseph in some Gap jeans, the wise men showing up in some spiffy suits from Armani. You probably wouldn't get points for realism. You'd think, well, why are you changing then and there and bringing it into today? You lose something of the original when you mix it in with the trappings of our modern world. But maybe those medieval artists were onto something, because can we ever really separate our current culture from how things used to be? In our text for today, we get a picture of Jesus, probably one of the best known pictures. I don't know if you love art or not, but I can guarantee that almost all of us at one time or another have seen a picture of this, what John describes here of Jesus being the good shepherd. Maybe in a church, maybe at a funeral home, maybe even in your houses. Jesus, the good shepherd. But how many of us truly know a shepherd? Now, we do have someone who takes care of sheep, a sheep farmer here in our church, but being with and knowing what a shepherd does, like what John talks about, what Jesus describes here in Scripture is probably about as foreign to us as, well, we know that there are Inuit fishermen up in Nunavut, but we probably don't really know them. We know a whole lot more about teachers and doctors and farmers and accountants than we do about what this biblical image of a shepherd is like. But one thing I don't think that has changed is our need for a shepherd. Now, the imagery might seem kind of outdated here, and we might not have shepherds in that same sense today here in Ontario. But having a shepherd, someone to fiercely love us forever and always the way only the good shepherd does, I think there is that longing in many of our hearts. Those of us who had the privilege of being raised in good and solid homes maybe carry around the memory with us of how wonderful it was to get tucked into our cozy beds at night without a worry in the world. We wouldn't worry on a day like this if the ice is going to back up under the shingles, if that big storm that's supposed to come is going to actually come through, if the bills are going to get paid, if as we're finishing our taxes at this time of year, if the government is going to say, well, that one tax deduction was just a little bit too creative. No, as children, we snuggle down into our beds knowing someone else is in charge. We fall asleep in ways that only little children can. Nothing on our minds to keep us too busy to sleep. Those of us who are even adults now probably carry that memory, maybe just deep in our subconscious. And there's parts of us that maybe yearn for that again. We yearn for that because in our world today, we probably know what it's like to live without some of that security. We wait for the pathology results to come back. We look on the screen and we see that storm is coming closer. Maybe we've bid parents, friends, sister-in-laws, brother-in-laws, children, a final goodbye at a graveside. We know what life is like. Congregation, I don't think our familiarity and our need for a good shepherd has faded just because we're not as acutely aware as Jesus' first hearers would have been then. We live in a broken, sin-filled world. And to make matters worse, those who are called sometimes to lead, those who are put in places of authority are not truly always good shepherds. The Old Testament in Ezekiel warns about kinds of leaders like this. dangerous or unfaithful shepherds who are more concerned about fattening themselves than caring for the flock. Health and wealth gospel preachers who fly around in their own private jets. Politicians who I think they still call it pork barrel projects. What can I get out of it now that I have power? How much can I get? How little can I do? How can I help me? We know what those leaders are like. Most of us also probably know some of those other leaders and other people that John talks about here in chapter 10. Jesus talks about thieves who break in to steal, destroy, and even kill. It's a broken world. And how many of us don't know that hired man? It's only a job. Not my sheep. It's not worth it to care that much. Each of those things here in John chapter 10, the unfaithful shepherd, the thief who breaks in, the hired hand. No security for the sheep there. It's a broken world that we live in. The truth is that in our world today, wolves abound. I don't think there'll ever come a time when we won't need a shepherd who will care for us no matter what. So someone who will see every wolf that runs our way and will put himself in the way and even get himself killed rather than abandon a single sheep as well. It's only one and there's 99 over here. We need someone with wisdom and vision to lead us to safety through this landmarked landscape of life in a world like the one we live in. We need a shepherd. We need someone like what Jesus talks about in our text today, a good shepherd. A shepherd who has an intimate bond with his sheep, who knows them and they know him. They, Jesus says, recognize his voice. I had the opportunity a number of years ago now to go on a study trip to Israel and to Egypt. And I remember one particular day we were in Cairo and we were stuck in traffic in Cairo. And our tour guide leader was actually very excited at one point as we're stuck in traffic and there's honking and there's cars and buses and vans and everything there. And he said, here is something interesting. And he says, look out the side window. And there on the side window on the one side was a shepherd with his sheep. And in the middle of this traffic jam, he walked across the road and called. And you know what happened? His sheep followed him over, around, between, under, on bumpers, and through. Sheep following the shepherd. I don't think Jesus had cars and trucks and vans and tour guide buses there at his time. But the sheep followed that shepherd's voice. But the thing that's most striking of this picture that we get of who Jesus is here in John chapter 10 is in verse 11. I am, Jesus says, the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The shepherd becomes the sacrificial lamb, the sacrificial lamb whose sacrifice we're looking ahead to on Good Friday. Congregation, we can go ahead and put modern clothing on Jesus, the Good Shepherd. But however, even in our mind's eye, we choose to update the imagery. I don't think a single one of us can deny that we long for and need a Good Shepherd. In closing, let me read something with you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Congregation, this morning, let me ask you probably one of the most important questions you can ever be asked. Brothers and sisters, do you know this shepherd? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for John's gospel, where You share, Lord, who You are. I am the good shepherd, You say. Lord, our world is much changed. We don't have shepherds like that. But Lord, we long for a good shepherd. A shepherd who will love us and care for us and guide us, who will take us to green pastures and quiet waters, who restores our soul. Lord, may we know You. Lord, may we not just know of You in our minds or intellectually with our brains, but Lord, may we know Jesus as our Savior, the Lamb who laid down His life. Lord, and may we follow that shepherd. May we follow You all the days of our life. And we will dwell in this house, in this place, forever. Lord, may that be true of each of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As our musicians make their way back up front, as they help prepare to lead us, we're going to sing hopefully a truth that is true for all of us. The Lord is my shepherd. I invite you to stand as we sing number 732. The Lord is my shepherd. Thank you.
Today's offering is for World Renew. World Renew is a disaster relief and poverty alleviation organization that is supported by the Christian Reformed Church. Looking through their website, their mission and vision seems to be deeply rooted in the theme of Micah 6, verse 8, to live justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for World Renew and the work they do around the globe. We pray that you bless our offering to them. Help us to follow you, living justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly with you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Congregation, just or one last thing just before we go. Sunday school, senior Sunday school. So if you're in Mrs. Goodrow's class, you're going to actually meet in the council room after church tonight. And the other class that's meeting with Mrs. Pat is going to meet in her Sunday school classroom. So the grade 4-5s, you're meeting in the far classroom today. And Mrs. Goodrow's class is going to meet here. So just a little bit of a swap because of something you're studying. So that's the announcement that I have at this time. As we prepare to close out our service, we're going to sing Lead Me, Guide Me, then we'll have the benediction, then unannounced after it, there is a higher throne. Let's stand as we close out our service in song. The great shepherd who loves us, who will always give us all we need, will bless us with his constant care and teach us to live in the sure knowledge that he will watch over us both now and forevermore. And all God's people say, Amen.
Thank you.